Turn with me to the book of Acts. So pretty much every year with our monthly Bible challenge, pretty much every year we go and we read the book of Acts one month. And something that I have noticed is every time when we do the book of Acts, people get excited, man. Everybody's like, man, I just chewed that stuff up, man. What are we reading next? People love the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. It's so wonderful. It's the beginning of the church. We're going to be in Acts 4. Acts 4, and our main verse is Acts 4, 18 through 20. Just a little background to what we're talking about today. Jesus' resurrection. Jesus died on that cross. He was crucified on the cross. He rose from the dead. And that's the best news you're going to hear all day. But Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. And for 40 days, he meets with his disciples, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the risen Savior, that he is who he says he is, that he keeps his word. Well, after that 40 days, it's time for him to go back to the Father. And he's meeting with his disciples one last time before his ascension up into heaven. And he says, folks, fellas, it ain't time for you to start gathering unemployment. It's not time for you to retire. But you guys are really just getting started. And he says, but this is what I need for you to do. I need you to stay here in Jerusalem until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A couple days after that, not long after that, is where we're going to be at today. One day, Peter and John, two heavy hitters, two big disciples, were on their way to the temple in Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And as they got to the gate called Beautiful, one of the entryways into the temple grounds, there was this guy there. This guy that had been crippled. He was a crippled beggar. He had been crippled his whole entire life, and he was over 40 years old. So this dude did not know what it felt like to have strength in his legs. He didn't know what it felt like to move without somebody helping him. And every day he would sit at this gate and ask for alms. He would ask for a blessing from the passerbys. So if you were using this particular gate to get into the temple courts, you knew this guy pretty well. You'd see him often. Maybe you'd look the other way or think, oh, Martha, we should have went through the other entry because there's that dude. You got a daughter? You got... Anyways, one day, Peter and John on their way. Peter locks eyes with the guy, the crippled beggar. We don't know his name. Just dude was crippled and he was begging for money. Peter locks eyes with the guy. And the guy looks up at Peter, thinking Peter's about to put some coinage in his tin cup. He doesn't do that. He says, silver and gold, I don't got none of that. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. He says, in the name of Jesus, that's important. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk, or get up and walk. And Peter grabs him by the right hand and lifts him up. And this dude falls flat on the ground. No, he does not fall flat on the ground. You know what? I mean, dude, that would be horrible, right? Thank God for his boldness, man. But if God tells you to do it, do it. Okay? But if he didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. But he knew what he was doing. The Lord told him to do this. And so Peter grabs the guy by the right arm, raises him up, and all of a sudden he feels strength in his legs that he's never felt before. And he's standing up and he's just beside himself. He's ecstatic. Maybe he's kicking some pebbles around. Maybe he's doing jumping jacks. Maybe he's jogging in place, running around circles around the disciples. But this guy has a life that has been changed forever and ever and ever because of the power of Jesus Christ. Where he thought there was no hope. The best I can do is just sit here and beg for money. Maybe I'll scrape up enough to get a half of a Subway sandwich or something. But this is the best life has for me. No, that's not what our God says. Amen. We still serve a miracle working God. Your life is not too messed up that God cannot put it back together. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Lord. This guy's healed. Peter and John go to the temple to worship. This guy's tagging along. Peter and John are in the temple. This once crippled man is kind of reclining on Peter. It's his new best friend. And everybody knew this guy. Everybody knew who this guy was. So a huge crowd begins to build. That was the crippled guy. That was the guy that had been crippled for all these years. I remember when he was just a young fella down there begging. Now he's over 40 and he's healed. This huge crowd builds around him. Peter, seizing the opportunity, begins this amazing sermon, begins to deliver this amazing sermon. Peter sees God's hand, not just in the healing of this crippled guy, but God wasn't about to stop there, and Peter realized that this was going to be a big day for a lot of people. And thousands of people come to the Lord that day because of this thing that they witnessed and because of the Holy Spirit-inspired message by Peter. But there were some folks that didn't appreciate what was going on in the Lord's temple. Some people that were furious about what Peter and John had done, about what they were doing. I'm talking about the priests. I'm talking about the temple ruler. I'm talking about the Sadducees. I'm talking about the religious elite of the day who said, that cannot go on here in church. And they go and they arrest Peter and John. They bring them before the Sanhedrin. And they have this kangaroo court thing going on. And they say, look, fellas, here's the deal. No more talking about Jesus. Now, you can be sincere and devoted to some sort of belief system, and you can even brag about your amazing belief system, but do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. That's a no-no. You can't talk about Jesus. You can't talk about salvation. You can't talk about forgiveness of sins. You can't talk about eternal life. And please, no, not please, pretty please, or if you know what's good for you, stop saying that we had anything to do with the death of your buddy, Jesus Christ. Do not mention him ever again, unless you want to end up like your buddy, Jesus Christ. Because this group of religious elite did not think that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't see him as a prophet or a good man. They saw him as a false prophet. And they certainly did not believe that he rose from the dead. That's our text, Acts 4 and 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. And let's go to slide two. Slide two. Father God, thank you for your anointing in this service. Your will, your way be done in this house, Lord. Thank you that every heart and every set of ears is hoping, open and hoping to receive the message that you have for us today. Guide us, lead us, direct us. Thank you, Father God. Your will be done. Holy Spirit, we need you. You are welcome in this place. In the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, everybody in church building said, amen. Give him some praise. Shake off those heavy bands, church. Shake them off. No longer does the Lord want us to. He never wanted us to, but he's saying enough's enough. Now shake off this weariness, this heaviness. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So here's the order given by the high Jewish court, the big boys. No longer can you speak, preach, or teach in the name of Jesus. Well, now we got a problem. We got a problem because if you look at Matthew 28, 19, and 20, Remember moments ago we were talking about Jesus said, before he ascended to heaven, he said, you guys need to stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive power, until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not the only thing he said. This is also the message that the risen Savior gave to these disciples. And two of these disciples are right now being examined by the Jewish court. But this is what Jesus says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, that's Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Everything that Jesus told you, instructed you, don't hide it. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't bury it under a bushel. So I need you to take that and share that with a lost and dying world. This is what we call the Great Commission. Let's read it again. This is what Jesus tells his disciples, but this is also what Jesus tells me and you, church folk. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I like that part right there, because Jesus is saying to his disciples, it can get a little crazy sometimes out there. And so the two disciples are experiencing that right now. They didn't think that they'd be in front of the Sanhedrin. You know, they were going to worship the Lord. They were going to pray. And the Lord used them to do an amazing thing. But Satan wasn't too pleased with that. But see, look what Jesus says, because this is also not just for the disciples. It's not just for a chosen few super saints. This is for all of God's people. He says, check this out. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So it might get crazy. Your world might get turned upside down. Jesus says, I never promised that your world would not get turned upside down. I said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Don't think that the servant has got special privileges. Don't think that the servant is greater than the master. But he says, here you go. Here's your job. You still have the job to do. Go tell people about me. I'll do the part you can't do. And don't be discouraged. Don't be stressed out. Don't be anxious, even in the face of opposition, because behold, I will be with you always. Give the Lord some praise. I don't know. Let's go to the next slide. But Peter and John answered them. So here's the order given. No more talking about Jesus. Don't do it. You can't do it. Now you fellas, you can go have a long, happy, healthy life. Go back to fishing. Go back to Galilee. Go do anything you want to do. But don't you dare mention the name of Jesus Christ. That is the most loved name in all creation. But it is also the most hated name in all creation. Everybody has some sort of opinion on Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad? Aren't you beyond happy that the Lord grabbed a hold of you and said, this is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the real thing right here. Thank you, Jesus. I love that lady. I ain't gonna lie, it's no longer a secret. I love that lady in the back so much. Her name is Nancy, and she is my special, precious angel. But now that everybody feels really weird, moving forward. I know it's my fault again. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must be the judge. Look at the boldness. Look at the confidence that we see in Peter and John. And they're not alone. They got this once crippled guy hanging out with them. He was brought in there with them too. I mean, here's exhibit A right here, Sanhedrin, that you're batting for the wrong team, man. You know? This is a miracle. So you look at the boldness. And that's exciting, man, to see the boldness of Peter and John in the face of this opposition. This is the group This is the group of folks that manipulated the Roman government. This is the group that put everything together to have Jesus nailed to that cross. They broke all kinds of their religious laws to make that happen. And this is the same group, and that's not lost on Peter, and that's not lost on John. And here they are, the amazing boldness in the face of this, what could be their last day on earth. Quite possibly. It wasn't unheard of for these guys to cause up a big storm, grab you, take you out of the city, and stone you to death. They had to do Jesus by the cross because they didn't want to be wrapped up in that mess. They wanted it to look like the Romans did it. They didn't want Jesus' followers coming after them. See, here's the deal, man. Let that boldness in the face of opposition, let that encourage you, because I don't know when and I don't know where, but there will be a time and a place, and it's already happened in a lot of our lives, where you will have to stand up and give an account for the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to be bold, and we need to know what we're talking about. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Can I get a witness? Because there are people out there that make it their goal to try and mess you up and to make you look like a fool, and they've done their homework. They've done their research, and they think they got all their stuff figured out. But you know what? Just like Stephen before the religious elite, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, man, and you've done your due diligence, and they can't trip you up, tell the truth, shame the devil. Give the Lord some praise. Now, this boldness that we see in Peter and John, the Sanhedrin were already amazed by this. If we go back to a couple verses before our main text today, Peter gives his opening statement in his examination before the Sanhedrin, and he's paraphrasing. He's like, okay, if we're here, these guys already had to spend the night in the slammer. If we're here today being examined because of a good deed done to a crippled guy, well, let me just go ahead and lay it on out there, folks. This wasn't us. We were the vessel, but this was done by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you, talk about boldness, man, who you crucified, but who God raised from the dead.
Hallelujah.
This is what he says to these guys. Who you, you are the man who you crucified. It's just simply amazing to me, but it's not just amazing to me. This is what the observation made by the religious elite who just witnessed all this. Acts 4 and verse 13, right here, check this out. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's the big thing right there. That's the difference between the Sanhedrin and all their many years of rabbinic training and education could not come close or compare to the fact that these men had been with Jesus. That they had spent 3 years plus with that man from Galilee. But it wasn't just that they had been with Jesus, or they had done life with Jesus, or they had lived with Jesus. But now Jesus lives inside of them. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's every single one of you guys that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. Give the Lord some praise. Well, they didn't tell me about that in this church or that. Well, it doesn't matter. It's the truth. It's the truth. There's nothing to be afraid of, man. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside you. It doesn't matter how much education or teaching or training, these priests, these scribes, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, the Sanhedrin had, it could not compare to having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And so because we have this real relationship with Jesus Christ, and we know that he created me, that he had a plan for me before the foundations of the earth, and he knew that every single thing that was going to happen to me was going to happen to me. He knew all about that. And he said, I'll be with you every step of the way. Yeah. And he said, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. He saved my soul. And he says, now, you got a job to do. You got a job to do. You got to go You got to go tell a lost and dying world about me. And in the face of opposition, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be stressed out, because I'll be with you every step of the way. I'll even give you the words to say, so you don't have to worry about it. Just stand up for me. Give the Lord some praise. You know, when you listen to a professional speaker talk, a professor talk, somebody that publicly speaks for a living, there's a certain confidence, there's a certain boldness, a certain authority that they speak with, because they know, they believe they know what they're talking about. They did their homework, they did their research, they feel comfortable, they feel confident about the topic, whatever it is, so they can deliver it with authority. Now, they might be completely wrong in their beliefs, but you see these people that speak with so much confidence. And so we have Peter and John, who don't just know about a topic. They don't just know about Jesus. They have an intimate, loving relationship with Jesus. And not just the Jesus that they spent the 3 years with, but the risen Savior Jesus. They knew this to be factual. They knew that you guys are deceived. You got scales over your eyes. But I know the truth, and I cannot hold that truth in. Not anymore. I don't care what you say. My mandate is from the throne of heaven. And that trumps anything you tell me I can or can't do. Give the Lord some praise. All right. I'm not mad. I just got excited. Now, look, so, you know, here's the thing, man. Don't you want to be bold?
Yes.
Don't you want to be brave and fearless in the face of opposition?
Yes.
Well, as I was studying this early church stuff, something was revealed to me that I guess I just, you know, kind of read through it many, many times and never really let it grab a hold of me. But we have something very interesting here. If you go to Acts 2, it's right there, Acts 2, 42 and 43. Acts 2, 42 and 43. If we read this and let it sink in, something very interesting is happening, Travis. These guys, this early church, is preparing themselves. They're preparing themselves for persecution. They're preparing themselves for what's waiting for them around the corner. Now, I don't think they realize that at the moment, but what they're doing here is so instrumental in giving them courage, boldness, strength, guidance as they get into this persecution that's awaiting the early church. Because right now in our sermon today, we got Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. Not too long after that, you got Peter and John and the larger group of the disciples under persecution. Not long after that, you have Stephen, the first martyr, and the first real church-wide persecution kicking in. And then you got Herod getting in on the game and kicking in his church persecution. Then Rome gets involved, and this is just Christian living in the early church. But right here, right now, before any of that happened, listen to what these cats were doing. Acts 2, 42 and 43. And they devoted themselves, the church, the Christians, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So the church was doing amazing things. Amazing things. The Lord was using them in a mighty way, and the church was growing and growing and growing. I'm not talking about filling seats at Victory Life Church. That's fine and dandy. What I'm talking about, man, is people were coming to a relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Lives were being changed. Lives were being changed, and they were girding themselves, preparing themselves for what was waiting around the corner. And through this persecution, the church doesn't get smaller. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Check this out. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So what did they devote themselves to? The word of God. They devoted themselves to reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God being taught to them, not just reading the Word of God, but chewing on the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, and applying the Word of God to their life. God says, do it, do it. When he says, don't do it, don't do it. Right? They devoted themselves to the Scriptures. But what else? To fellowship and the breaking of bread. They had a church community. They had a family of believers that was their family. Yeah, they had a mama and a papa and an aunt and an uncle and all that, but they had another family, a family that we're very much aware of because we're a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a group of believers that were there to encourage one another, to help out one another, to guide one another, say, this is what the Scripture says, and this is what we're going to stand on.
Yeah.
And this is what they were getting acquainted with, so when the rubber met the road, when the persecution really hit, they said, I got my church family. I got what the Word of God says. And this, in the prayers, they weren't just reading Scripture and applying it to their life, but they were reaching out to the Most High God. They were praying to their Lord.
Amen.
They had access to the throne of heaven, the throne of grace, because they had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they knew that they could go to the throne of heaven boldly because they had that relationship with Jesus. So we have these things. We have prayer, we have the Scripture, and we have this family of believers all coming together to encourage one another. And this little family right here, we ain't perfect.
Not even
close, Joshua says. And he's right. We're a mess.
We're misfits.
We're a mess. I'm not saying that, but I agree with it. I agree with it. I don't want to give the people in Columbia listening to this some weird idea about us. I think there's one or two of them down there that still catch us. But you're right, you're right. So, we ain't perfect, but this is your family. This is your family, and family love one another. They don't always agree, and they don't always smile at Thanksgiving dinner, but we love one another because there's blood relation. And we have a blood relationship. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that'll never lose its power. And you see the amazing things that this church is doing, the early church is doing, because they had everything in common. That doesn't mean Sister So-and-so agreed with how Sister So-and-so did her hair, or they didn't agree with Brother Bill taking Brother Bob's parking place. They're just saying that they took what was in common and they built off of that. We love Jesus. We love Jesus, and that's the main thing, man. So when I see you hurting, you're in my family, and I'm going to do what I can. If all I can do is pray, I'm going to pray, and that should be the first thing. But they were able to do amazing things because there was unity. And you see, as you get into Acts, you see how there begins to be some grumblings, and this group is complaining against this group in the church, and how Satan wants to come into the church, and Satan gets these people to lie. Satan's throwing everything he can to try and destroy the early church. And God says the gates of hell cannot prevail against this, man. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And we're going to put our foot down in the spirit and say, it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here. We're going to fulfill the destiny that God has for Victory Life Church and for my home and my house. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 47, which we do not have, but we have prayer, we have Scripture, we have the family of believers all coming together, even not just fellowshipping, but breaking bread, getting to know one another, getting to care about one another. And then verse 47 says they were praised. They were praising not one another, they were praising the Lord. Praise to worship is another form of prayer, by the way. It's not meant to be, hey, look how pretty I can sing, which I know none of us have that problem. You know, but it's...
I've been holding back,
Paul. I know it. prayer is praise. Praise is prayer. Praise is, I'm talking to God, saying how wonderful and amazing, how much I appreciate you. Even though your life is a mess. Even though there's just craziness going on in the world around you. It says, you reach out to me in praise. You reach out to me in prayer. and you begin to see me for who I am, and your problems, although they are very real problems, are nothing compared to the grandeur and glory of your Lord. Hey, give the Lord some praise. Slide four. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge." I like how Peter kind of throws that back in their face. It's like, okay, so there's what you say, and then there's what God says. Can you imagine how the Sanhedrin, the religious court, the religious Supreme Court, felt about what this man just said to them? No wonder they're amazed at his boldness. He says, so church people, highest ranking religious folks in the land, there's what you say, and there's what God says. And they ain't the same, they ain't even close, chief. They're not even in the same arena, not in the same ballpark. So when it comes down to it, obeying you or God, you decide for yourselves. You're the one that's got to live with yourself. But as for me and my compadres, we can't help it but speak about what we've seen and heard, because it ain't book learning, brother. It ain't something grandma passed down that she heard from her grandma, and it's been a little mixed up over the generations. No, I seen it with my own eyes. I felt his hands. I felt the scars in his hands. I ain't worried about what you got for me, man. I belong to the Most High God. What can man do to me? Hashtag nothing. Give the Lord some praise. Now, so here's the deal, man. Let me read this verse again so we're all on the same page. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Amen. So there's what God says, and then there's what man says. And not to add confusion onto the situation, I mean this not to add confusion into the situation, but did you know that we were ordered, not recommended, but we were ordered by God in several places in Scripture? Because I went around looking this stuff up, man. And we were ordered in Scripture to obey the ruling governments over us. I'm serious. So check this out. I got 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. You can also find this in Titus and Hebrews and Romans. It's sprinkled throughout Scripture. But listen to this. Before you start throwing your shoes at me, just bear with me. Be subject for the Lord's sake. So this is what God is telling us to do. All right? Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it is to be the emperor as supreme on the earthly scale, he's the big guy, he's the boss in the natural, to the emperor as supreme, we're talking about their world that they lived in at this time, or the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So there's that. Paul, you just said there's what God says and what man says. And if I'm to follow you, if I'm following you, you said, God, what God says trumps what man says. But then you just read this verse and you said it's not just one solitary verse hidden in the pages somewhere, but it's over and over again where God says, obey the rulers over you. So which is it? And I'll add this. We're not just to rebel to rebel. We're not just there to kick up dirt and cause trouble because we think we're better than anybody else, because we're not better than anyone else. Matter of fact, Scripture says, look at Romans 8, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Live peaceably with all. So we're not to go around and just upset an apple cart. Well, what, I'm confused, man. I want my $1.80 out of the offering plate. I don't get what you're saying, dude. Well, it's like I said, we're still on slide four. But, so God says, this is what you do. You're to be the best citizen you can be. Best citizen you can be. Don't look for the easy way out of none. Don't look about cutting corners, none of that. Be the hardest worker you can be because you represent Jesus Christ. So you be the best worker, the best citizen, the best guy you can possibly be. But, like what John and Peter are experiencing right now, when man says this, but God says something completely different, then God's law trumps man's law every single time. That's who our allegiance is truly with. Yes, you're an American, and I'm proud to be an American, everything that goes along with it. I'm not saying anything bad about that. We're a mess. My goodness gracious, we're a mess. It's a messy situation. All God's people said it's a mess. But God's in control. But more than an American citizen, more than a Floridian, I am a citizen of heaven. So, and the funny thing about this citizenship in heaven is it's not a group of folks sitting around voting, saying what they want to do, and a bunch of nonsense. It's one guy at the top. And his name is God, Yahweh, Sovereign Lord. He's in charge. And he says, it's not up for debate, man. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. And you're my child. So it's not about fitting in. It's not about being comfortable. It's not about sitting back and thinking, man, I got through that one by the skin of my teeth. No, he says, when there's a situation where man's law contradicts God's law, you are obliged, you are expected to go with God's law. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? All right, look with me at Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 19 and 20. Talking about our citizenship. Now this verse 19 kind of starts off with a description of the enemies of the cross, the enemies of Jesus Christ. Their end is destruction. Oh, right away, that don't look good. That don't sound good. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Talking about the unsaved living by the lowest, basest desires. Like an animal, like a dog. I like dogs. If you didn't know, I kind of like them. But you know what the thing about my dog, and he's a cool dog, is he'll eat as much food as you put in front of him, man. He'll just eat. I believe he would eat to the point to where he just was dead. That's the animal. That's the animal for you. So here we have this amazing verse where we have this comparison between the enemies of the cross and then the Christian. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. Remember before you were saved? I can't speak for you, but I remember before I was saved, and I would be so proud about the weirdest things, man. The weirdest things, man, that maybe I felt I accomplished or something like that. It's like the wickedness that you see people bragging about on television or something like that. And with your regenerated, washed mind, you're like, my God, why would anybody ever be proud of that? Yet again, not that we're on our pedestal, not that we're better than anybody, because we're not. We just received that precious gift of salvation. The Lord's been doing a renewing in our mind, and we're starting to see things differently. You know, because we ain't no better. And sometimes we like to get on our pedestal as Christians and down somebody because they're tempted in a way you're not tempted in that way. So to you, that sin is repulsive. All sin is repulsive. Thank you, Jesus. But Peter, okay, moving forward. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. The ungodly, the unsaved, they can only focus on the temporary. When you begin to think about eternity, when you begin to think about, is there an afterlife or whatever, man, that freaks you out, man. That scares you. So you got to change the subject. You got to, I don't want to be alone right now. I don't want to think about that. Let me see what's on the History Channel. Oh, the life of Jesus. I don't want to watch it. You know, there's, you got to push away from the truth, man, because it's so scary. You can only get joy out of the temporary. And in your heart, you know that it's rusting, it's fading away. And it only at best is temporary pleasure. But here we are. But our citizenship, the Christian person, not the perfect person, you accepted a perfect gift, but our citizenship is in heaven. There's a book in heaven, and your name's in it. That's a good feeling, man. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? One day our Lord, who rules sovereignly in heaven, is going to set up a kingdom right here, ma'am. Yeah. It's a win-win for us. It's a win. It's a win-win for the Christian person. So, we got much to be excited about. Let's go to the last slide. Is everybody doing all right? I know we're running long today, but we're almost done. I feel like we're almost done. Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered them, this is just a little refresher, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. I still think that's amazing, the boldness in this man, for looking right into their eyes and saying, you guys are just so lost. Don't tell us that I can't speak about Jesus because I've seen it. I heard it. I felt his flesh. He lives inside me. Don't tell me to shut up. I ain't going to do it. Okay. Yeah, okay, okay. We're moving forward. So let me just catch that way up. This interaction goes on for a little while, and they're like, okay, you know what? You guys, get out of here. Ghost, get out, scoot. But don't let me. See, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because they're not afraid. They're not used to having an audience with people that aren't terrified of them. They're not afraid, and they do want to kill them. They do. They would love to be able to do that. But they're really, really terrified. They're terrified because of the huge group of people that just saw this miracle, and the church just grew by the thousands. And they're like, this thing could turn out really bad for us if we don't play our cards wisely here. So just get rid of them, scare them a couple more times, look them right in the eyes and say, no talking about Jesus. And that's what they do. They let them go. Interesting and encouraging. And I really, really like this part, Josh. Because remember we talked about, we got the scripture, we got prayer, we got prayer, we got praise, we got the family of believers to encourage and strengthen one another. The very first thing that these two guys do, I don't know what happened to the ex-crippled guy. He's probably following along with them on. But the very first thing these guys do is they go, they gather up the other disciples, the core group, they gather about together. And they say, you'll never believe what happened to us. You'll never believe what happened. You should have saw Peter, James, he was a wild man. He was freaking people out. But they pulled everyone together and they had a prayer meeting. They said, man, I think this is the beginning of some crazy days because we are being extremely fruitful for the kingdom. We're just being obedient to the mandate that Jesus Christ gave us. But here's opposition from the evil ones. Here we go. And we know how this works, church people, because we see the template in Acts. We see it through Scripture. We're obedient to the Word. Persecution arises, but we don't give up. We're obedient. We persevere. We trust in God. God makes a way, and there's a huge harvest, and that repeats over and over and over again. Acts 4 and verse 24. They begin to pray. They have this prayer meeting. Guys, we need to pray. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, Remember that, who you're praying to. He's the sovereign Lord. So there's this ruling religious elite that are very, very powerful. Very powerful. But I'm reaching beyond anything they can do to me because I'm talking to the sovereign Lord. I'm talking to the creator of the universe. Your God is in charge. Your God is in charge. That's who you're offering your prayer to. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Not only is he in charge, but he's a lot bigger and stronger than anything you will ever face. Well, I got the government coming against me. I got my stepmom's aunt coming against me. Okay, did she create the heavens and the earth? Did she create the sea and everything? She makes a mean apple cobbler. I didn't ask you that. I'm talking about, man, this is who's in our corner, or whose corner we are in. Who made the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them? And then we're going to jump down from Acts 4:24 with this prayer continuing. And now, Lord, this is beyond amazing. They got a proper picture of who their God is. He's sovereign. He's bigger than anything I'm going to face with these knuckleheads down at the temple. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. You see, you heard what they did, what they said about your kid. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Yeah. I find that very interesting that they're not like, "Lord, cover us with a veil of secrecy. Don't let them ever see us. Hide us from them. Don't let them know about the work we're doing." They say, "Give us boldness." You know what they said about us, and you know what they said about you. And we ask that you give me boldness and strength and confidence to proclaim your gospel, even knowing that those people are out there to get me.
Yes.
That's an amazing testimony.
Amen.
I don't know. That just fires me up, man. But look at Matthew 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. This is what Jesus said. Because these dudes had immense power. "And do not fear those," this is Jesus weighing in, "and do not fear those who kill the body." Because you know what, man? I got to be honest, it could cost you your life. It could cost you your life. There's what man says, there's what God says. And we're commanded to do what God says. And you may have to lay down your life, man. That's what Jesus says. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." He said, you want to be a man pleaser or you want to be a God pleaser? Because to be a God pleaser, that means that you want to be obedient to him no matter what the cost. And when we're talking about death of the body, we're talking about something temporary. Temporary. When you ain't taking this body with you, and all God's people said, thank the Lord for that.
Right.
Makes all things new, man. You know? But we're citizens of heaven. We are called to be something higher. We are devoted to the Most High God. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, okay, now we're going to wrap these things up. We're going to wrap this up really, really fast. But as I was preparing, I was like, this is just too good. This is just good stuff, you know? So, like I said, they let the guys go. They don't know what to do with them. And they go and run and have a prayer meeting, like, "Lord, give us strength and boldness to proclaim your gospel in the face of this persecution. Just give us the strength and the boldness to do the right thing. We want to be fruitful. We want to be obedient. We want to work and do what you've called us to do. Don't let us be a bunch of scaredy pants." Well, the church continues to grow. I mean, the church is like growing, man. And the apostles, the disciples, are doing these amazing things. People are getting healed left and right. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Think Republican, Democrat. That's something easy for us to understand. That's how the Sanhedrin was kind of, you had the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the two ruling parties. And at certain times, one party would have the majority over the minority. So that's something that we can understand. But what are we talking about? Why did I tell you that? Somebody help me. Oh, okay. No, I still don't remember. Okay, so let's just dismiss. I can tell he's getting tired. Start the car, Martha. They let him go. Let's just start there. They let him go. They don't know what to do with him. They go have a prayer meeting. They pray for boldness. The church is growing. I mean, it's really, really growing. And out of jealousy, because the Sanhedrin had so much power over people, but they weren't yielding any real results.
Amen.
They weren't bearing any good fruit. They had so much authority, so much power, and they were ripping people off.
Amen.
They were thieves.
Yep.
They were crooked. They were snakes. They were whitewashed tombs. And Jesus himself said, do what they say, but don't follow what they do.
Yeah.
If they're teaching the word of God, obey the word of God. Yeah. But don't go around following their example, because their example is poopy.
Yeah.
It's poop. But out of sheer jealousy, they round up the disciples, not just the two. They scoop up a bunch of them, a herd of them, a flock of them, a mess of them. They scoop them up, and now they're in front of the Sanhedrin again. Very same situation. And listen to what Peter says right here. Acts 5:29. Now, Peter could have been like, you know what, man? Here we are again. Here we are again. I think I might need to come at this thing with a different angle this time. Maybe just tell them what they want to hear. No, he can't do that. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, God says this. I'm going to do what God says. This is exactly what he says. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. He said, I don't care. I don't care. It's what God says and what you say, and you are opposite than what God says. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm going with him. I'm following him. I'm not worried about what you can do to me. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah? It's like what the Apostle Paul said. To live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm alive, I'm serving Jesus.
Yeah.
To die, better than I can imagine.
Oh, amen.
So just to wrap everything up, you know, we talked, this whole thing was about God, God's way, God's law, God's word versus man's way, man's law, so on and so forth. So in our mind, we picture government, you know, government structure, ruling people, suppressing the man and all that stuff, man. I was totally what we're talking about, telling us we can't. So if the government, I'm laughing because this is going to get me locked up 5 years from now. Well, it's like, did you say this? And just, you know, yeah, it's on the internet. Yeah, but you know, whatever, man. But okay, so check this out. It's God's way or man's way. So if the government says you can't talk about Jesus, okay. You judge what you're going to do, but I'm going to talk about Jesus. You can't pray to Jesus. You judge for yourself, but I'm going to pray to Jesus. It's like Daniel, man. Remember Daniel? When his government says you can only pray to the king, you can no longer pray to your God. Daniel didn't change a thing. Daniel did not change a thing. He continued to pray to the Lord. He continued to worship the Lord. And what did it get him? It got him thrown into the lion's den. But what did it get him? It got him a night with the angels. And he had lions for his pillow. And then all those conniving and manipulating and wickedness that got him in that lion's den, they're the ones that got fed to those lions. Daniel got promoted even more. Three Hebrew children. You got to bow down to this statue. We don't bow down to statues, man. We can't have any other gods before us. Didn't quite hear you. No, we can't do it. Do whatever you want to, but we're not bowing down to that statue. They still had to go into that fiery furnace, but they didn't go alone. The Lord was with them. The Lord got them through. They got promoted. Okay. That's government stuff. That's a real part of our, that is a reality. But when it comes to man, man's way versus God's way, I want us to look inside as well, just in closing. Because so often we deceive ourselves. So we have to talk to our brothers and sisters, let them encourage us and guide us. We got to get in the scripture. We got to pray. And we got to say, this is what God's word, this is what the truth is. This is what my body wants to do. This is how I want to get in trouble. But God says this. Who do I want to please? Who do I exist for? Where am I? Where's my citizenship? Is it King Paul? It ain't King Paul. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I got to submit to him, even when it hurts my personal flesh, my personal little government that says, I deserve this. I should go ahead and do this. Nope. God first. Right? God's way over your way. God's way, what God says, always trumps what man says. Yeah.